You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's the cool again, stupid.
At 8:30, I was walking to go get my scooter back because it got impounded.
Yeah, we go.
Let's go.
There it is. Okay.
Also, did you know that if you don't have a motorcycle license, they don't let you drive a motorcycle out of the tow yard? You have to tow it out. I paid $175 to a guy to put it up, go like this, and then put it down. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like trying to rent a car with no license. You have no license to drive this scooter.
But we were driving to Baltimore, and then I got a phone call from my landlord, and the first thing he said is, they're taking the scooter. And I was like, who's they? Why are you letting someone rob my scooter? And he goes, the NYPD. I'm like, why would the NYPD steal my scooter? And it turns out my registration sticker was out of date. That's my fault. So they took it. And then I was like, yeah, but I did have registration, so it's allowed, right?
Right.
And she's like, well, you didn't put the sticker on it, so you still have to pay the fine. In total, $400, so that I could vroom, vroom.
Look at that, man. Look, a little sticker.
$400. $400. $220 for the ticket and the tow and for them to hold it for 4 days. But here's what I got. I got proof they dropped it, and there's a bunch of scratches on the scooter. So NYPD about to pay me $400.
Okay, we'll see.
Maybe more.
We'll see how that works.
I'll never get it. Shouts to everybody in the chat. Shouts to JK Crit. Nice cold brew. Paolo Nelson, a member, a fan.
That's right. A friend. Family at this point.
Blamley, bro. Yeah, you blamley, bro.
Paolo said, you woke up at a regular time, Alexis.
Yo, so I put 8:30. I'm like, yo, why am I up dumb early? Because I'm going to get a thing. And the first person to respond was my wife. She goes, everyone else in the world is at work. This isn't early.
Your wife is literally saving lives, saving the world.
Bro, and she woke up at 5 a.m. and then like, She started talking to me. I'm like, no, we don't wake me up.
Hey, exactly.
Yeah. You go, woke up.
You go do all that.
Ew. You care about people?
Helping people. Nitro M said, NYPD gonna pay you with Barca money.
Bruh, where is Barca getting all the money? Where's the NYPD getting all this money?
Damn, bro. Is Eric Adams doing the Barcelona budget?
Huh? He said, yo, this budget is swaggy, bro.
Turn your computer so it's not all in the frame. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. We are here. My name is Christian.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We're back at OSNYC.
We were told by the network we need to do an intro. So
Alexis is, he's finally been overruled.
I'm not happy about it.
Dan Le Batard was like, you know, I've been listening for 36 minutes. I don't know who you guys are.
And I was like, yo, Bland, we need to talk about this. Can I get my first name? Is okay? Yo, where's Bloppy at?
Bloppy is... is my new, he's a hero, Bloppy.
So we were told, they're like, hey, you know, sometimes the audio listeners, they need to know who you guys are. And I was like, yo, you guys are kicking it old school. Is this a grown and sexy party?
Damn. Well, are we at Hedonism 3?
Hedonism?
Yeah, you know, I've tried. I couldn't get it out.
That's right. Yo, Hedonism 3, bro. Which reminds me of the tow yard we were in.
All right. It's more like Beatonism.
Hey.
Anyway, yeah. We're excited to be back in New York City. Because, yes, we were in Baltimore.
We were in Baltimore, or as I like to call it, Nice Newark.
Nice?
Yeah.
Newark. Really?
If Newark had an NFL team, bro.
Look, when it...
Remember when we went to go to Fadley's, or as Newark. I like to now call it Catch a Fadley's, bro? Yo, there was a couple dudes who were like, yo, how did pimps dress on sitcoms in the 90s? On BET sitcoms? That's how I'm going to dress from now on.
Right.
Couple dudes in there that were like that, and I was walking through that. I'm like, yo, this is Newark.
Yeah, this. I mean, look, as far
but
as...
But then there's like a nice section. Newark ain't got that nice section.
Newark has a nice section.
What, we got a bunch of Brazilians and Portuguese running around?
No, you say
what's
say
the nice section?
Like, all those savages?
No, I'm saying, what are we talking about? We ain't got row houses.
Around the Prudential Center, it's kind of nice.
Dinosaur barbecue couldn't even survive.
I mean, the dinosaurs couldn't either. I mean, it says a lot. I mean, I know it's too soon to bring it up, but
Abuelo joke of the day.
No, we were in Baltimore. We were in D.C.
We went to D.C.
We got to hang out with some folks, but I'll mention that. I just want to obviously give a shout out to our host for the day, OSNYC. Shouts to OSNYC for hosting the Cooligans per use every Monday where we tape the Prem show. But no, it's the dopest gaming space here in New York City, whether it's, you know, playing some Mario Kart, playing Smash Brothers.
I've said this before. This is a great... Probably the best first date place in New York City.
Okay.
Right? Hooked up. Yeah. What are you? Sync with someone on Binge? Hinge? What is Binge? What is it called? Binge is a great
Alexis would love to.
It's just me swiping right on sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, I'll binge on that.
Oh, this sandwich matched with me. It liked me back.
You never.
By the way, we need to make that app, bro.
You never run out of options. Yeah. You'll give people serious eating disorders, but that's.
Are you worried about the negative consequences?
Neither here nor there, okay?
Can we get out of this shot? Are we back? But I've said this before. This is a great place, right? You match up with a shorty or whoever. I'm one of these apps, you know what I mean? And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Take her, go Top Golf? We ain't got that in the city. You know what I mean? Right. What you going to do?
We ain't got that kind of space.
Right? Come on now, right? We got Bottom Golf. Go find, instead of basement in the Bronx, dog. And you going to need that club. Right? What you going to do? Are you going to take her out to a wine bar? You and everybody else? What you going to do? Go see a movie? You can't even talk. What about this? Why don't you come here and straight dunk on her on NBA Jam, the arcade game,
that's
bro?
That's right. Okay.
Right?
Let her
laugh
know.
At her for picking the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She don't know nothing. Her cousin lives in Sacramento. That's why she picked it. She don't know nothing.
Mike Bibby ain't even that good.
Right? More like Mike Blibby, bro.
There it is.
So anyway, OSNYC, absolutely incredible.
Come through. Seriously. So, great drinks. Everything's dope.
Incredible. Oh, the drinks are so good. And there's a little low-key, there might be some comida popping up in here soon.
Okay. A nice cold brew said, hey, yo, Bottom Golf, all hole-in-ones.
All holes in one. It's more like it.
Okay. Yeah. It's a community effort.
Welcome to Bottom Golf. I suggest you close your eyes. What you call it?
Okay.
I want to give a shout-out because we said we were going to Baltimore for the Cooligans Clásico.
Right. Everton versus Arsenal.
We received a lot of messages, a lot of positive messages saying, mm-hmm. I hope you guys enjoy the trip. Some people are saying, good luck, Arsenal. Some people are saying, you know, get them, Everton. Whatever, you know. Up the toffees.
Get her done, Everton.
Yeah. Up the toffees. Whatever you guys say, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, everybody hit the like button if you're watching. If you're listening, high five a ghost in the air. but a lot of people sent us messages. But we got one in particular from a gentleman who happens to be in our chat right now. He goes by the name of Jamal.
Yeah.
And he said, Imagine driving 4 hours to see Iwobi kick ball. And that stuck with me the entire weekend. Which is all you have.
And he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
A lot of the messages were like, yo, I mean, yeah, we couldn't maintain possession in the midfield, but.
See, it was almost like y'all didn't want possession, bro. Y'all were like, let's see what these Arsenal guys can do.
Some people were like, you saw Wobi out there? Yeah. That was pretty dope. No, you know, Arsenal won the game. If you look on our Instagram or on our TikTok, you can see I got a video of Gabriel Jesus' first goal, his goal in the game, right behind the goal.
I was there. I was staring. It was beautiful.
It was incredible. I mean, I wish Pickford would have just reached that ball and it never got to Jesus' feet.
Some little arms, I mean.
Oh, yeah. You got to be clear if his hands or his arms. But no, it was dope to be there, see all the players up close. We got a level of access that we probably wouldn't be able to get in England. We were really just pitch side watching the game. It's pretty incredible.
It is amazing how many people we've convinced we're important. Yeah. You know, isn't it shocking? Sometimes we're so sorry. And we're like, you really don't need to be apologizing.
And then we walked out on the pitch. First person we see, Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Dap him up.
Recognized us back.
He was like, thank you for coming to my game. You know?
Yeah. Just a little kickabout as my testimonial for being back in the United States. It was great to see him in goal. It was very exciting.
Yeah, he had a couple good saves.
Yeah. You could see he's starting to warm up a little bit. He's starting to get a little bit more comfortable. I think that first match I'll say hopefully it was jitters, right?
Well, so how are you handling? Because we see Twitter, mm-hmm. we see our Arsenal fans. They don't really have a long leash when it comes to a player who makes a mistake or doesn't right. look confident.
And this is an American. They're
this
going
is
after.
An American on so, top of that. So how are you combating these, you know, angry Arsenal fans, these problematic fans, let's call them out,
right?
Who are constantly criticizing Matt Turner after one match in the preseason.
I reached out to the homie Biden. I suggested Revolutionary War II, right? Everybody's nice. Doing a reboot?
Electric Boogaloo. You mean, yeah. Damn, I didn't
if
think.
If everybody gets a reboot, I'm going to need a reboot for this Revolutionary War, you feel me? And I know in England, they don't even cover it. Well, you better find out what happened. There's a whole lot of tea in the harbor, you feel me?
Okay.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to... I actually am. I am going to defend him every step of the way. It is what it is,
yeah.
right?
Yo, that's it. Homie. That's it.
He's from North Jersey. It is what it is. The dude brought Taylor Ham to England. Finally, it's about damn time. All right? It's exciting to see him play. And look, I came into it knowing he was going to, you know, be getting a lot of criticism because that's just what happens. Not only is he American, but he's also just an Arsenal player. You know, anytime a professional player makes a mistake, there's a ton of criticism that comes that way, as it should. He's a pro. He's an adult. He can handle it. I'm not an adult. I can't handle it, but I'm gonna let it pass.
That's why you ain't in between the sticks.
Nah, bro. I'm about to be in between the sticks if somebody says something again. You're about to see them sticks, man. It's a little frustrating, but I'm starting. I've actually, Aaron Ramsdale, who I absolutely love, kind of ended the season a little weird. And, you know, people are worried that maybe he's not the guy that started the season out, that was like a lot of momentum
right.
that was going his way. If that's the case, we may see Matt Turner starting in goal.
I don't think it's far-fetched.
For Premier League matches towards the end of the season. I hope it's not the case because I hope Aaron Ramsdale is the guy that we all thought he was when he first came, and that sort of the end of the season was just a little bit of a blip, you know what I mean? And I would love to see Matt Turner get some chances in the Carabao Cup and maybe Europa League first two, three matches, if it was him, if I was saying it to him because he's from Jersey. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay. I think, so after watching the game, let's start with Arsenal because they were fantastic. I know Jamal's saying the difference between a well-known club in Everton and a global club in Arsenal was showcased at the stadium by the fans' attendance. And it's easy to say, right? Arsenal are
What was the ratio? Of Arsenal to Everton fans.
Yeah, you were saying.
I say it's about 4-1.
Yeah, that's sort of what it felt like.
That was supposed to be our section. It was just a lot of red.
But there was still a lot of Everton fans there. Let's not like be dismissive of that.
No, there were. But wouldn't you say that was most of the Everton fans?
What do you mean?
Like in the U.S.?
I don't know what you're saying.
What percentage of U.S.-based Everton fans, like serious Everton fans, would you say were there?
What percentage? They all seemed pretty serious to me. They were seriously.
No. How many of the U.S.-based fans would you say went to the game?
90%.
Yeah. How many of the U.S.-based Arsenal fans would you say went to that game?
100. What it seemed like everybody
of everyone in America that's an Arsenal fan, how many of them went to that game? I'd say it was 10%.
I'm not saying.
I think that was 50% of Everton's fan base.
No, not even close. No, that's
you
not.
Think there's more Everton fans?
There's a ton more Everton, just like there's a ton more Arsenal fans.
Yeah, but there's like a billion more. Arsenal
that's what
fans.
I'm saying. It's just like, but even discussing this point is like we know Arsenal they're a bigger brand and they have a larger fan base. So it's like
but
it's
also
a moot
Everton
point.
Is growing though.
Yes, yeah, it's a moot point. That's not the point. Like
that mood. I brought it up.
Jamal brought it up.
Demoot.
But the main thing was in the way that they played, they did look fantastic, and I would say they fielded a team that looks closer to what the first Premier League season match. That lineup looks like it'll be the lineup in that first game.
The Everton one.
The Arsenal one.
You think the Everton didn't start?
No.
The Everton lineup wasn't?
Didn't start. Iwobi didn't start.
Okay, good point.
So there's,
you think Iwobi's going to start?
I think Iwobi's going to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get super sub vibes from him.
No. I think we're Richarlison gone. And if there's no other signing that comes in, I think that's probably Iwobi's spot. Maybe they switch sides or something like that, but I think it will be the starter.
All right, because you know we're going to scoop Zinchenko from
right. But okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But I want to highlight one thing about Matt Turner. In this particular match, in a game where Arsenal really dominated possession, we didn't really get to see Matt Turner be that tested,
which is why he didn't make no mistakes.
He didn't make any mistakes. He stopped a couple of shots, but there were a couple times when Everton pressed and he got out of it pretty comfortably, and so that was good to see, where he seems like he's fitting in pretty well. I mean, and again, this dude is a homie. Like it's just like
it's weird to talk about him. I'm like, we could text him right now.
I'm just like so happy for him. I mean, he was playing against my team, but it was to see him succeed and see him do well and be confident, especially after that first game when he did give up 2 goals. I'm like, all right, this dude, I think is gonna, a few more opportunities, and I think he's knocking on the door for maybe a couple more, starts in the Premier League. So I just want to make sure I give him some props, but. Everton, yes, they were bad. They couldn't.
I wouldn't say they were bad.
Second half was way better.
Yeah. That's also their first preseason match.
Yes.
Arsenal have had two under their belt already.
Right. So the same issues that were happening during the season, which is simply not having any control of the midfield.
Do you think now that you're out of the whole relegation battle and that's sort of behind you? Now we'll start a little bit of a test for Frank Lampard, because now comes the question is, can he manage this club?
I think now, in these like first 5 to 10 matches, we'll see if there's any sign that things will be getting better. But, we only have that one game to go off of, and it doesn't look that much better. It's just, I wouldn't say it definitively looks worse, but... The Everton midfielders have the problem where you have some players that are more technically sound, like a Andre Gomez, but then athletically can't keep up. And then you have players like Dele Alli, who technically sound, but is decision making is like really tough. And I was also fascinated too. He was getting booed relentlessly
every time he touched the ball. He immediately got booed, because we never forget Arsenal fans.
You could tell he wished he could have scored or just even played a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think against Arsenal. But that was I don't know if we earned the respect of the English or Arsenal fans.
We never will.
Look, I mean, look. If that was happening at the Emirates, the booing would happen there. It happens in the U.S. So look, at least there's some
little consistency.
There's consistency with the American fan base. They're like, okay, what are the homies out in North London doing? All right, we'll keep it going.
Are you expecting a big season from Dele Alli?
I am not.
How do you rate that transfer?
I mean, as of right now, it's still...
On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 10 being best?
Yeah, how it usually is.
Okay.
No, hit that zero.
I'm going to say it's a 3. I think it's low. Yeah.
That's tough.
I think, but I don't think it's his fault particularly. I don't think he's a bad player. I think you saw at Tottenham, because he was surrounded with so many good players... that he looked like a better player. But Everton, the things that they require are somebody that can confidently control the ball. I was watching Odegaard take every single touch, and like every touch is so
silky.
Decisive. It's
so
like
silky,
you know what they always say, like put the ball into positive space. This man is all positive space, part of Martin Odegaard. It is just so precise. Every touch goes where the defender is not.
But I will say, so Martin Odegaard looks that way when he doesn't have any defensive responsibilities. And, he had a lot of defensive cover. Little worried about some of the injuries, though, if I'm going to talk about Arsenal worries for me. Tomiyasu and Tierney out again.
Yeah.
Supposedly not a big deal, but they're out. Vieira still has a bone issue.
Somebody commented, like, why are you saying Vieira like that? Which I didn't understand. I mean, that's how you say Vieira. But then I was like, and I commented back on TikTok. I'm like, well, how is he supposed to say it? And he goes, and he types it out, Vieira.
It is Vieira.
I mean, give us a break.
Coño.
you already get frustrated with us for every opinion we have. You hate our accents.
At least we're not saying Vieira. You know what I mean? Or Vieira.
Right.
Which is Martinez.
Martinez.
Is ridiculously frustrating.
Look, if...
I'm not asking you to say Martinez... But bro, Martinez.
I'm asking you to say Martinez.
No, Martinez. Like, I'm not asking you to put a little bit of a spin on it, like a little bit of an accent. But bro, Martinez, y'all can't say Martinez?
Not Martin. Martinez.
Martinez makes zero sense.
And look, I've actually shook hands with, we both have, with Patrick Vieira. Yeah. And he wasn't like, wait, 1 second.
Well, he's French.
But still.
He wasn't like, it's Vieira. I'd be like, bro, you, from about 6 feet above me, you just spit on me, bro.
So, look, all right. I feel like we have a little bit of experience and expertise.
You know what? We'll give you Vieira. We'll give you that. Could you start calling it Nike? Is that possible?
All right.
What the fuck is Nike?
Nike.
Now, what you, first of all, y'all didn't get the sneakers until rappers started talking about it. And you heard them say Nike?
Oh my God. Nick,
Vieira.
Nick Harris said, Christian, just tell us. You scared Everton will be in a relegation again, aren't you? I mean,
I don't think you're worried about that.
I'm a little worried about it. I'll be honest.
A little shook.
I'm not terrified, but it's not far fetched. I would say the signing Tarkowski, that is probably the thing that will not put us in a relegation battle. He seems like he's probably the best signing. He will be the best signing as far as just
seems to be your goon too.
Yeah, well, yeah, dude. How many? There were like a couple scuffles early on. Oh, this is a
man came out to mush people in the face, bro.
Yeah, I'll say this. This was fascinating. And I just want to highlight, we did record a no cap recap.
Check that out. Everyone on Patreon, thank you very much.
Yes, our podcast on Patreon, we recorded in Baltimore at our hotel room. And if you want to hear all the behind the scenes about.
Made that sound way sexier than
everybody.
Yeah, it really
dude. Was. I mean, look, we're just trying to sell.
There's video as well. Shouts to everyone on Patreon. You guys are vomiting up your lunch right now.
Okay. All right. I know how this business works.
All right. We know the business.
Okay. We're out here on Bonely Fans.
It just works. I don't know how else to put it.
All right. It's a hit.
Check out boop.com if you want some more.
So the one thing that this one fun detail, there were a lot of scuffles. A couple looked like there were almost going to be some fights in this preseason match in Baltimore between Everton and Arsenal. But after one of them I was fascinating. So I was standing right behind the goal. I'm pretty much right behind Yerry Mina pretty much the entire first half. And after Gabriel Jesus scored, bro, this dude, he's looking like he's like psychologically trying to get in people's head. I was hearing him when he was pressing the center backs. I was hearing.
What was he doing?
He was just like, he was like, pass, pass, pass. Like, he was getting in people. He kept yelling at Mina while he was, every time he touched the ball. I'm like, bro, this dude. Remember,
kids coming in, pushing people around.
Remember when.
I like that.
When Gabriel Jesus first signed, the rumor was he was going to go to Arsenal. I was like, I don't know if he's going to really like fit in. But after watching him play, I'm like, this dude fits in quite nicely.
Square peg, square hole, my friend.
Arguably, Gabriel Jesus was Arsenal's best player in that game.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He looked incredible.
Also, he's really solidified that angle that you think, well, there's no way you could score from. Oh, he just did.
Yeah, dude.
Top of the net.
That first touch, I mean, look, Pickford, you probably shouldn't even go for that ball, but
he's done that twice in the preseason already.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Mason Holgate didn't help either. Mm. Kind of giving the ball away in really, really bad areas. Jesus took a shot that Pickford saved, but as far as Arsenal always look like a team where they clearly have a style and a culture, and you always wonder like, oh, is this guy going to fit in? Because they play out such a precise way, and not everybody can really fit in. Gabriel Jesus fits right in, and he's not going to play like Lacazette. He's not going to play like Giroud.
Thank God.
He doesn't really.
Ooh, I just hit that. That felt amazing.
A bug.
That felt incredible.
He looks like he changes Arsenal's style of play just a little bit, but for the better.
You know what it reminds me of? You were talking about Martin Odegaard, how he seems to move the ball in positive space. One of the things I love about the way Giroud or Lacazette, even Aubameyang played the ball is they have their position and they run. They're not that direct, but they tend to run forward and create pressure on the defender to stop them.
Yeah.
Gabriel Jesus gets the ball. You got no clue where he's going. This dude is going in circles, and he just creates absolute mayhem for the defenders. And I'm sure after a while there'll be enough game tape on the guy to kind of figure it out.
Right.
But as of right now, for three matches that we've seen, I'm just like, dude, you never know. He tends to float to the right, but you also can't even – you're trying to stop him from cutting the ball back, but also he can shoot from that angle. So you're going to have to stay tight to him. He's going to start to draw some penalties. It's absolutely incredible to watch. And – one of the things that you keep forgetting is that, what's his name? Mikel Arteta used to, you know, he had his arm around these guys at Manchester City. He was the one that dealt directly with the players. So he knows these players inside and out. So when he says Gabriel Jesus is the right guy, that means he's seen him in training.
Course,
he saw him for years. He knows exactly this is the right guy. This is absolutely incredible. It's like a guy who gets divorced and starts dating his secretary. It's like, oh, you know her already. You know what I mean?
I feel like
this might have happened before the divorce, bro.
I feel like you made that overlapping run, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I feel like you're hitting it from a tight angle, you know?
Derek E. Bunker said, longtime listener, first time baller. What's Bracken, Booligans? What's good, Derek? Welcome.
Yo, that might be my favorite comment. Shasta Crimson Pizza, thank you for the super chat. He says, what will be in better shape by the end of the season, Gabriel's hairline or Everton's attack? Gabriel hairline is...
I thought he did the thing, the hair transplant
but it
thing.
It ain't transplanting, bro.
It didn't take?
What Yo, happened? He got a hair band transplant.
Because, yeah, his hairline wasn't looking great, but I had seen a video he had posted going to Turkey, right? He went to Turkey.
Yeah, he's open about what's happening. I think it's that thing of like they put the transplants, but then that has to grow. In order for that to grow, they inject you in your head with something that makes the weaker hair fall out.
Okay.
So you know like, all right, in a year, this is what this dude's gonna look like, or in 2 years.
Okay.
So you gotta fa-fa-fa-fa-fa replace all that.
Fa-fa-fa.
Couldn't save him.
Okay.
If anybody knows that song reference, I would be shocked. We'll put it in the chat.
Did he go to Rob Holding's guy? What happened? Like,
probably not. Yo, Rob Holding came through with the
Rob
full
Holding,
hairline.
It was like Monday.
Rob Holding is Saturday with bald. Monday, he's on a motorcycle, bro.
Yeah, damn, yo, Rob has been exclusively wearing leather jackets to training.
So what's going to be in better shape?
Between Everton's attack or the hairline? Look, signing or two. Hopefully something comes through. Hopefully they do good business.
So Gabriel's.
So Gabriel Jesus.
Gabriel Magalhães.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, maybe his hairline.
I do want to bring up one other thing. So you and I did get press passes. So we were in the press box for the match. In front of us was all of Arsenal's media team, which I was like, hey, everybody, can I get a discount? whatchamacallit? And they were kind of giggling because in the press box, there's a gentleman with a microphone who is paid to give you every single stat over the speakers.
Yes.
Martin Odegaard, foul. Throw in by Gabriel Magalhães. Header, cross missed. And it's because this is what you do for the NFL. And the guy's like, well, if you're opening the stadium, that's a union job. I get to do what I do.
Right.
But these guys were just like, why is all of this happening? And I got a little bit like, all right, if you're going to giggle about every one of our customs, I'm at least going to explain this one. So I told them, I'm like, in the NFL, it's a stat-based game, so you have to know all this. And they're like, it's a bit silly, isn't it? I'm like, no, this is important. I go, right now there would be a couple hundred journalists typing out every single stat. You need to know who caused what.
Right.
And they were like, oh, okay.
It's like, fantasy football. I mean, it's like a $1 billion business. So
billion?
Yeah, so you need to know
that. Do you mean like billion, like million, like we say it? Or
no,
like
actual billion.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like billion.
A lot.
lot of money there. Yeah. But yeah, it was a little silly overall. So
we are getting some of the chats. Christopher Blavely. I can't even say these names anymore.
You sound like Jerry Lewis.
Lady says, Christian, back in depressed Everton fan mode.
They didn't last. Yeah, as soon as they start playing, it's downhill from there.
Once you see them, you're like, oh, yeah. This is what I chose.
Look, it's coming for Arsenal too, bro. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God. The ups and downs are going to be all in
due time, okay?
Based on just that match, where do you think Everton ends the season? Position.
Based on that match?
Based on one match.
I mean,
we're doing crazy hot take right here. This is inappropriate hot take.
Based on that match, we're in the championship.
You really think?
Based on that match, if that's all we're doing.
But is that where your head is really right now?
No.
If you were to ask,
I think definitely staying up. I think 14th feels like the right number.
Here's a better question. I think this is appropriate to ask or to speculate. By the end of the season, it's a yes or no question. By the end of the season, Frank Lampard will be your head coach still, or your manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You think he survives?
Yeah, I think he, and I was telling this to a lot of, Everton fans. I was on the American Toffee podcast as well. I said the same thing, that after the year that Everton has had and that Everton fans have had, I think it did bring them closer together. There is a little bit of belief after going through so many managers in such a short amount of time. And the fact that Everton fans just like him, they like the guy, I think that gives him a longer leash. And I think it will get to kind of the place where Everton fans were with Roberto Martinez, where they liked him. And that lasted a long time, even though he gave up, his teams gave up a whole gang of goals. But it'll give him some time to at least build the squad into what he wanted to look like. So, yeah. So, yes, that's my answer.
By the way, Del Boy answered what position they'll end in. And he said, heads down, bottoms up.
Okay.
And Justin Vibrick said, reverse cowgirl. So, okay. That's more likely than in the top 10.
Is this all on the menu at Bottom Golf?
Yo, the chat is hornier than usual, dude. Which reminds me, if you're just listening to this podcast, if you work in an office on Mondays, get in the chat, guys. It's super horny. Actually, it's Blorney, bro. The Blorney Stone.
Okay.
Let's talk about this transfer window. By the way, I think Arsenal's going to finish.
Well, we have to address the thumbnail and the title.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Transfer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you were going to talk about something else.
No. Because Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
a couple months ago, they said, we need 500 million euros just to save the club.
Right.
And now they're spending 500 million euros.
We don't know where they, because they said they ain't got it, and now they got it.
But it's also convoluted to answer the question as to how they can spend it, because La Liga has a spending cap, right? They have, based on transfers and based on how much money you make and how much money you owe, you have so much you're allowed to spend. So would you care to guess what Barcelona is allowed to spend on salaries based on all the business they've done in the past few months or a few years?
My guess is that what they're allowed to spend has to be somewhere under, let's say, for salaries alone.
Uh-huh.
Let's say 160 million.
That's what they're allowed to spend.
Salaries.
I'll say you were close. Barcelona's salary limit, which covers transfer fees, amortizations, and wages, was a negative 144 million euros.
Wow.
That's what they're allowed to spend.
They're allowed to spend negative 144.
So in other words, you owe us money, bro, before you can spend money. So they have to cut 144 million euros.
They do that by...
In wages, though.
But you said wages, transfer fees, and amortized something.
Amortizations. So in other words, they're like, we'll pay you in the future. They're like, that's the way.
So my guess is that's probably how they're doing some of these signings. Well, obviously Lewandowski.
No. Barcelona, the only Spanish club with a negative spend limit.
No. But I'm saying that the way that they skirt that is probably by saying, like, they give them the, what's his name? The Mets player?
The Bobby Bonilla?
Bobby Bonilla deal.
Yeah. Well, but amortizations covers that.
Okay.
Amortization means promising money in the future. That's in there as well.
So, but I know they cut the wages for Ousmane Dembele.
They're like, you ain't got an LLC in Panama we can send this money to.
They have to sell players. So I mean it's $144 million is not an impossible number to get to if you sell players.
Well, so here's the thing. They've done two things.
What?
Everybody wants to know where Barcelona's getting their money from. There's no definitive answer, but here's what they've done. They've sold the future TV rights. So they sold the TV deals for the next 25 years, right? And I'm trying to find what the number is. I'm reading this on inews.co.uk.
It was something
the
like
most
five,
trusted source.
Like five. I saw a number like it might have been around $500 million or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So the club can use a third of any money raised to sign to pay for a new player, right? So Laporta, Chasso Laporta, who's probably stressed out and has one of like seven of those calculators with the pieces of paper on the back. His paper ever. He's got paper cuts all over his hand.
He's got a visor.
Yeah, the green visor. He's got the arm strap. He is stressed out, right? So Laporta has agreed to sell 10% of the team's Spanish league television rights for the next 25 years in exchange for $207.5 million/euros, because they're the same right now, which is 176 million pounds. So he's allowed to use a third of that. So that covers Rafinha's transfer fee. But if De Jong doesn't agree to go to Manchester United, which he hasn't yet,
right,
they can't register, what's his name, Lewandowski. So as of right now, they have to keep selling more percentages of their TV rights deals
to make up for that money.
But then what happens next year? How are you going to get more players next year? The whole gamble is you get into Champions League, but that puts you back in black.
Yeah.
You get into Champions League, that's just paying off the debt that you just acquired. Never mind the fact that you got Aubameyang and what's his face last season?
What, Memphis Depay?
No, Memphis Depay was the season before. They got Aubameyang and someone else last season in the January transfer window.
Oh, I don't remember. Somebody will tell us in the chat.
Whatever, but you got a lot of, how is this possible?
There's a couple notes here. Justin Friedberg said, Lewandowski is about to be paid in NFTs.
Bro.
Chris Matassa said, asking players to take a pay cut and pay them at a future date and their Spotify deal is their hope, I think. JK Tritt said, you expect La Liga to hold Barca to the same standard as the rest of the league. La Liga doesn't even make Barca pay their league fees. Damn, bro. I pay my Sunday league fees. They asked me for it. I got to pay it.
How about this? De Jong is owed $17 million by Barca, and Barca's like, we ain't giving it to you.
Right, because they'd rather sell him.
But even if they sell him, they still owe him that money. That's wages.
Well, no, Manchester United would pay that.
No. That's money that's owed to him for services already rendered.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would work out some deal where Manchester United would pay.
The deal is De Jong ain't moving until he gets that money. That's the deal. That's why De Jong's saying, I'm not leaving.
Okay.
He's saying, like, you can't register a new player unless I agree to leave. Give me my $17 million and I'll leave.
Damn, bro.
And they're like, yo, we ain't got it. They're like, yo, take Braithwaite. He's yours, bro. You know what I mean?
All right.
He's your homie. He could be an assistant, maybe.
Voluminous said Ferran Torres. That's who it was. That was the other signing.
Ferran Torres, who I believe they paid $50 million for.
Don't know, but it looks bad. And this is, we all know.
Is this the end of Barcelona?
I mean,
at some point, Barcelona's got to go into administration. This is, can you be badly run and then continue to be more badly run?
Too big to fail. You saw that movie?
Bro.
This is
Enron FC,
this
bro.
This is what's going on.
Lehman Brothers FC.
This is what's going on. I mean, the brand is too large and it props up the rest of the league to some degree. That
you got to take all the money you have left and put it in Ethereum. Ethereum?
Ethereum.
Ethereum. Put it in Ethereum. Who knows? Maybe it's a better one.
Put it in a thermos.
Honestly, You'd get better returns. You'd lose 3% on inflation. But yo, right now, like if they'd have to, you got to gamble. You got to take it all to Vegas, put it on black.
Okay. This is a, look, it is concerning, but this is the state of, I mean, this is the state of football nowadays where like, they, you know, the, where some teams get around financial fair play. They try to instill, put these rules on because, you know, the presumption is that, it look, it'll make the game fairer.
But you know when they put those rules in, Barcelona called it and it was like, great. Yeah. I love the rules you guys did.
Real cute, right?
So where's the loopholes? Because you know we don't play that by them rules. That's for everybody else.
Give me.
That's for Real Betis. You feel me? Okay,
but yeah, it is.
And Che got to follow them rules. But it's me, Barcelona, baby.
We've been homies for life.
Look at the friends and family. That's like when I go to Linda Street, your boy's not waiting on line for that sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk in, I say hello to my peoples. The Latina chick on the thing is like, you can't come in here. And then I'm like, no, those are my people. Right. And then I go around because she, even though she's met me 1,000 times, she must be related to my aunt. She don't let me get away with a damn thing. And every time she's like, what did you order? I'll charge you. And everyone's like, we got Alexis. Don't worry about it. That's me. I'm Barcelona. I sit in the corner, and then I wait to get my sandwich. I don't wait in line. I get my sandwich because I'm Alexis.
It should FIFA be more strict or harsh
about me getting a sandwich? No. Why would you do that?
But it look, I don't know. It, look, if a team like Barcelona went into administration, it happened to Juve. Right?
It happened to Rangers.
Right? Well, I mean, but Juve, arguably, a bigger shock to global football.
I would argue that in the Scottish Premier League.
Of course. In the Scottish, that was a huge deal.
Doing that to Rangers is bigger than doing it to any other club in any other league.
Okay. It's all relative. But I would say that there's just so much money involved with the existence of Barcelona in La Liga, that there's too much money invested. People are not going to risk something like that. So they'll do everything they can to get around the rules so that they can stay up there. Because do you know who brings in the money? The brands are just too big.
All right. If Barcelona gets put in administration, they got to go to what? The fourth division? Well, I guess it really is only, what, 2-3 divisions in Spain?
I mean, there's already a Barca B. What happens if Barca B gets promoted? No, but no, they wouldn't laugh.
Yeah, they just finish first every year and they don't get promoted. But let's say Barcelona gets punished, they get dropped out of La Liga. Is that the end of La Liga?
No, it's not the end, but it is a huge financial stain.
They lost Messi, which already was like a huge draw.
Look, all the it is, you know. This is capitalism at its finest. You know, these leagues are competing for attention and eyeballs and advertisers. And when you lose a huge player like Lionel Messi, you have to find other ways to sell the product. I mean, I was talking about Bonley fans.
I was about to say, Bonley fans you were talking about might actually have it, bro.
You got to figure out ways to
You saw those IFC Cologne players had the had the body cams, yeah. The police officer body cam. Bro, they need to put that in the Barcelona showers, yo. You want to make money, bro?
The showers, yeah. That was Alexis's first.
Let me tell you something. Here's an area of the game we haven't explored yet. What's going on in that undercarriage, bro? Tile cam.
Yeah, here
we do a couple Barcelona upskirts.
This was pretty cool. This was FC Cologne player Tim Lemperle, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but old Timmy was wearing a like a GoPro during the game, which is pretty dope. I mean, we've seen this with referees. Remember, right. They did this at MLS All-Star with Real Madrid.
Well, this isn't the good one. This isn't.
Isn't the good one, but this is just him. This is when Cologne scored. So, he, you know, I mean, good seats this dude got. Yeah. I mean, good for him. But then, the goal for Giroud.
It is weird to see
here it goes.
The hands moving.
Right.
Looking like a first player
shooter.
First person shooter.
Yeah, but this is incredible stuff. I mean, Giroud
rainbowing
the goalkeeper.
I guess it's not technically a rainbow. Rainbow's behind it.
Yeah, but just chipping it over, but not hitting it into the goal. Just getting it around them. Good stuff.
So Olivier, casual. Look great. Okay.
Giroud. He's just not warming stressing. Up. He ain't sweating it. Where was it? There was something in the chat I wanted to read. Oh, yeah. Chris Matassa said, I'm pretty sure they're going to change the name of the stadium to Spotify Camp IOU.
Boom.
It's a good one.
Chris, you get one of these.
You earned it. You earned it.
You bring in that heat to the chat, bro.
And you just got your comment pinned.
Okay. No, man. It is a
Del Boy said they gave the young a suitcase to leave. It was full of chorizo. I honestly don't even get it. And I love it. It just doesn't make any sense. And I love it.
It's good. We good? We square?
No, it don't go bad, bro. It will sweat out. And it's going to make everything in your fridge stink, bro.
But
even
you know
in
what?
The freezer,
actually,
bro.
Actually, you need to take this to your bank and put it in a safety deposit box, all right?
You need a chorizo specific safety deposit box. And I promise you, Santander has them.
Oh, my God.
So
look, I don't know if this is a thing where this is making the sport worse or whatever. We're in a place where it's not even about necessarily corruption or whatever. Look, I think it's people trying to cover their ass. It's people trying to it is a little bit of greed. You know, I mentioned this, I think, last week about, you know, when you have an era of like Messi and
Xavi,
you know,
Xavi, Busquets, Iniesta,
even before that, Samuel Eto'o, Ronaldinho, you have this era where like, yo, we can basically print money. These guys. Just money magnets.
How did it go so bad?
But it got out of hand.
You got Braithwaite and Aubameyang up top. You failed.
Know, it is a thing where every movie. Look, you saw Wolf of Wall Street. He was doing great for a long time.
Yo.
And then he was,
Everybody wants you when you up.
And then when you get greedy, you spend too much, you start to get irresponsible.
The young came in and said, I'm not leaving.
I'm not fucking leaving. So, I mean, like, at some point, you know, and I don't want to sound like a fuddy-duddy adult kind of thing. But
were we getting stepdad, Blanco? Go ahead, hit us with it.
You got to be responsible with your money.
Okay? Fiscally responsible.
You can't spend above your means.
Ugh.
All right, you gotta start thinking about life insurance. Where are you gonna retire?
Oh no. Get sensible shoes that don't hurt your ankles, kids.
Okay, this is why Barcelona are in the position that they're in. It's a perfect example.
Here's a player you should transfer, Roth IRA. Have we heard of him?
This is going to be one of those things where other clubs are going to be like, you want to end up like Barcelona? Mm. You see where they are? Okay.
Barcelona's just in the background eating cereal with their hands. What? What happened? You know what I'm talking about, me? Yo, this cereal was up for grabs, right?
My goodness. So, pretty wild for Barcelona. You hope that they figure it all out. Realistically, it's too important of a club to go through these embarrassing, financial situations. And it seems like other clubs are, look, Real Madrid, who also seem like they're in a little bit of a mess as well because they're pushing for that Super League too.
Right.
It feels like that people think that the Super League is the cure to this problem when the problem is the people who are running these clubs, right?
Right. The fact that you need a Super League to survive means you messed up.
Yeah. How much?
The moment you're selling a kidney, that's not the moment where you should question what happened. It's everything that led you to need to sell a kidney.
Right. And everybody is kind of. Look, there's a lot of things at play because it is like, you know, the greed of some of these clubs, but then it's the greed. Let's not even say greed. Like, I think the players, look, if they're going to offer...
mismanagement.
If they're going to offer you that money, you're going to take that money, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a good player...
I don't care if you got it or not, as long as I get it.
Right. And you know, we've heard the stuff about, like, agents as well taking these crazy fees and all this stuff. So everybody sees it. It's like a trough. And they're like, oh, all right, I want mine. And they're just trying to get in. So I think that... The thing that we talk about when it comes to custodians of a club, you got to take, if you're really about the game and you play for the badge and blah, 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 you guys all say this, but
the responsibility should also, that passion and that responsibility and that pressure should be put on the people running the club as well, because you gotta be responsible.
Oh, that's the perfect voice. All right, how about this? I have a few ideas to save the club.
Oh, first I just want to give a shout out to Chepito. Says first time catching this live, it's different.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with us, Chepito. More like Bleepito, huh? I got two ideas to save the club. The Bachelor with Gerard Piquet.
The Bachelor with Gerard Piquet. Okay.
Happens at the stadium.
I don't hate it.
Happens at halftime. Got a couple roses. We sell them every club. Every match, every home match is a different date.
Got it.
How do you rate that?
I mean, it's going to get a solid 0 from me.
Really? You don't think that'll save the club?
I mean, the halftime issue. The halftime is my only issue.
Do it before the match. Before the match.
Yeah, don't get him
You don't want to get in his head.
There's a lot going on.
Okay. Before the match. Before you stinky. Which, again, is a shin. If you're wondering.
Yeah, we don't want him to hurt his stinky.
So what do you rate that? Scale of what's then? You think that would make that makes some money? You bring some money in. I mean, Gerard Piqué Bachelor.
Look, I'm not saying it's not on the list of ideas, but I'm sure there might be better ones up there.
Okay, I got a better one then. Bachelorette, Gabby's mom.
Okay, no, I'm not a huge fan of this one, but okay.
Okay, I bet you and Gabby might have an agreement here. Look, I'm just trying to come up with creative ways to save the club.
Look, and this is what this show is, a brainstorming meeting on how to save these super clubs that should be more responsible.
Okay, you don't want the Super League? Well, get ready for Bachelor and Bachelorette, Barca edition.
Okay, I think the fans will get on board.
Nick, get J-Train on it, Jared Freed starts talking about football matches.
Boom. Criticizing all the bachelors and bachelorettes. Right. You know? He does. Jared Freed, shout out to Jared Freed. If you don't follow him online, he does one of my favorite things. I don't watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I'm not a fan of those shows, but he does Scream Bachelor and Bachelorette recaps. So he will recap these shows. But he will scream it on Instagram. He just screams at the bachelors and the people who are in dates. He screams the whole thing, and it's hilarious.
Mystery Science Theater 3000. It was done by a bro watching mostly shows watched by women.
It's very loud, and it's also very loud. Nick Red said, Alexis, quoting
me,
I have two ideas to save the club, and one of them is Pornhub.
Hey, I've given you now three. I said cameras on the floor tiles, looking up in the showers.
Mm. They call them up nuts. It's a new category.
You've heard of upskirts. Welcome to up shorts.
Anyway.
We got that, right? Feel free to pay what you want. Wait till the suds go away. And then Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Three
tremendous ideas.
Great ideas.
I think I should work for Barca.
David Morales says, screams or streams? No, it is screams. It is very much screams. Okay, a couple other things I wanted to make sure we got to. Paulo Dybala just announced he is going to be signing with Roma.
Dybala and Mourinho. Mm. And you know, Tammy Abraham had a chance to leave, and he said no because he likes it there.
Yeah.
This should shake that up now.
Yeah.
They can play together, but Tammy was brought in to be the guy.
When I was in Rome, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I mean, I feel like Roma is not, a global, super club that a lot of people, know about or
huge,
whatever.
Huge club.
I don't know. This is my dumb American perception of it.
Saved you from typing it, TikTok fans.
Go, you're welcome. but there was a certain, I know that they won the Europa Conference League, and there was a lot of just Roma signage and stuff, and the store, I went to the store, and as far as the excitement about Roma seemed, you know, it seemed, you know, it seemed positive.
That was their first trophy in, I think, 25 years, something
yeah,
crazy
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
As opposed to, like, when I was in...
or maybe European trophy.
When I was in Naples, that felt more like there was a certain more of a tension, I don't know how they feel about their club or not. That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's just
the way they carry themselves Naples. With their club. Yeah. So maybe that Rome seems like a more chill supporters.
I think if you watch what's his name, Colin Quinn has talked about it, that some of the attitude that New Yorkers are known for comes, you know, the genetics are based in sort of the Napolis people.
Okay.
When they came here.
So that's what I'm saying. So like a Tommy Abraham.
Tammy.
You know, Tammy Abraham.
Maybe it's Tommy, bro.
Mourinho. And then I had seen Aaron West tweet about the Dybala move as well. And he said that he thinks it's a good move for him because he's going to be treated like a king out in Rome.
Right.
And so, but this is what the sense I sort of gathered is that Roma fans just seem like a gentler people than fans of other clubs, whether it's Juve, whether it's Napoli. It just seems like a chiller city, and they show a lot of appreciation to their players and their signings, especially if they deliver. So that's why it doesn't shock me that Tammy Abraham was like, oh, yeah, I think I might be here for a few more years.
Yeah, I think, Tammy probably also isn't dealing with the media pressure that comes with playing in England.
Sure.
And I've said this before, I'll say it again, Lukaku, when you first came back to Chelsea, I said this was a mistake. I don't know why I'm pretending he's watching the show or listening to it.
Big Rom. Shout out to you again.
Right, again, you're the reason, besides Tim Howard, that he's an Everton fan. Mm. But when you look at the pressure that's put on you being in the media spotlight in England, it's just why do that to yourself?
Okay.
You know?
I agree.
Where did Roma end? They finished in 13th place last season. That's not great.
Not great, right? But because they won Europa Conference League, do they automatically go into Europa? How does it work? What's the reward?
I believe they requalify for Europa because they won Europa.
But the Conference League. So obviously, they were the first winners of it. So right. I don't know what exactly the reward is for it.
Barca's like, Braithwaite, you can have him.
Dimitri said Roma versus Lazio rivalry is legendary. That after being in Italy, that was one of the main things I
mess with anybody who beats Lazio. Yo, they still they're Mussolini fans.
Yeah, they got a weird history. You know, you turn the book a few pages back, you're like, all right, I don't like
that was one page, bro. Last week.
So I was gonna say, we got to go to a game in Italy after meetings all those supporters out there. It really made me feel like, man, we got to come out here for like a really big game. So maybe that Roma Lazio might be the one.
Voluminous said, pretty sure Tammy Abraham has a brother named Timmy.
Look at that.
I made a.
All right.
You're never that silly. I used to have a joke about an NBA player whose first name was God's Plan.
His first name was God's Plan.
Uh-huh. God's Gift.
Oh.
God's Plan was
because that's
God's Gift.
Did it come out after, right? Was he conceived while during that song?
I'm going to look this up because I don't want to get it wrong.
God's Gift. One word?
Uh-huh. No, two words.
Okay.
NBA.
God's Gift, Ramirez.
God's Gift, Achua.
Achua.
He has a brother, though. And
but is that like the English translation of his name?
No. Oh, his name is two words, God's gift, with an apostrophe and everything.
Yeah.
Possessive. On ESPN, they put it as one word, but it is two.
God's Gift. And he plays for St. John?
He did a long time ago. I don't think he still plays in the NBA.
Okay, God's Gift.
I want to look up his brother's name. The joke I used to make was the doctor came back in the room and was like, you know you're not naming a horse, right? A racehorse? God's Will.
God's will
is
God's
the other.
Gift and God's
this is,
will.
This is the family. I'm not making this up.
Right.
These are all the siblings. They have five siblings. Okay?
Damn, bro. I'm excited.
Wait till you see these names, bro. I don't want you to see it.
Okay.
Okay. This is true, okay?
Voluminous said, God's gift to women?
Hey. All right.
Hold on.
Oh, one of them is still with the Raptors.
All right, read the names. We want to hear the names.
Okay. Oh, but wait, hold on. I got to find. They're from Newark.
Of course.
They're from Newark. Let's go. Oh,
wait, no, that's the their sister's names.
Yeah.
Their sister's name is
they're from Newark. The other sister is give me your money. Yo, run them jewels. All right, here we go.
Go.
God's gift.
Boom.
God's will. Precious. Grace. Peace.
Wow. Peace might be the weirdest one. Peace.
I'm going to suggest, maybe, I might be reaching, but I think the family's a little religious.
Damn.
The father or mother's name, Eunice and Donatus. Donatus.
I don't. Okay, I don't know.
They're both Pentecostal ministers.
Of course.
From Newark, New Jersey.
They walked out of Passion of the Christ, and it was like,
God's gift,
we bro. We got names for all the kids.
They are Nigerian, and they went to elementary school in the Bronx, and then they went to St. Benedict's in Newark.
Wow. Amazing. Nick Red said, and their little brother, clearly unplanned, God help us.
Also, they adopted a redheaded child named God Damn It.
They say God Damn It, and then both of the kids are like, who are you talking about? Which one?
Which one?
I need peace in my life. Okay, Dad, I'm here.
Imagine, imagine you sinned, and they're like, you're going to hell, God's gift.
Is that, I mean, I feel like it should. I
feel like
be.
You get a get out of hell free card right
for
there.
For real, huh? With that kind of name. Okay.
You can't be in hell as God's gift.
Chris Matassa said, Tammy Abraham's brother's name is Tammy Babraham. All right. I love it.
Boop. We got to get boop as on the board, bro.
Crimson Pizza said, it's actually pronounced God's gift. Boom. You get one of those. Crimson Pizza.
This is how perfectly dumb our fans are, and I love every second of it.
Incredible stuff. Okay. Any other transfer news that we didn't cover that we probably should?
I do want to say this, though. As someone who absolutely despises Tottenham and everything about them, It is kind of dope to see the way Son gets accepted in his country. People have said he's bigger than K-pop.
Right, I can see that.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's like, weren't we talking about how he's just one of the players that even if you're not a fan of Tottenham, he's difficult to dislike.
I mean, unless you're one of the five players whose legs he's broken.
I mean, there's one guy.
No, he's injured a few other people.
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to start this?
I think Son's a little bit of a dirty player.
Of course. No, he's beloved.
He's,
okay.
He's not him and God's gift. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. It's only one of those. The other one I wanted to talk about, you know what? We were talking about Barcelona. I just want to make sure we get to this. Robert Lewandowski, do you think that works out well at Barca, given that he, with Aubameyang there and him being there?
100%.
You think
Aubameyang, you're a winger now. I hope you're comfortable with that.
Right, right.
Because this guy's the purest number nine in the game.
I don't imagine
him. You know
him.
What? Robert Lewandowski, you think he has more goals? I was about to say he will, and I'm going to phrase it as a question so I don't get in trouble with the chat. Right. You think he'll have more goals than Erling Haaland?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the Premier League is tougher to score in, and that would probably be the main reason. So,
but it is
one goal in La Liga, I would say, is worth probably 0.8. goals in Premier League.
And the exchange rate is really shifted.
I'm just saying, when it comes to, you know, the level of play from top to bottom and from every club, obviously, both leagues have weaker teams, but without a doubt, La Liga has more weaker teams than the Premier League does.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all.
Especially defensively.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
I mean. There's a lot, even the worst teams in the Premier League typically have a more fortified defense.
Right. And then...
except Everton.
I can't imagine Robert Lewandowski having any trouble fitting in there. I think Barcelona are going to be a very, very strong squad. And then, I'm more excited to see them in Champions League. I think they're going to be an exciting team to watch. The
City.
No, Barcelona.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see City. They're going to be a bit more direct.
Yeah, I think Erling Haaland will have a tougher time fitting into City than Lewandowski will have in Barcelona.
In fact, based on the transfers, I would venture to say that he's gearing up pretty much to beat Liverpool more than he is anything else.
Okay.
So this is going to be fun. It's going to be like a little bit of an arms race. I do want to say, where was it? There it is. Camilo Garcia said, "Godson Heming." Pretty good. Pretty good.
Thank you, Camilo.
So you could have just said him and Godson.
Matthias, I think we're pronouncing his name correctly. Matthias De Ligt, going from center back, going from Juve to Bayern.
Mm-hmm. For how much? Did they say how much?
80 million euro package.
That is a lot.
It is a lot of money. But I feel like Bayern, every decision they make is always correct. What player have they signed where they were like, damn, bro, we really shouldn't have done that one? It just always works. They're very precise. Leroy Sané has been amazing.
He's been aight.
He's been amazing at Bayern.
You think he's lived up to the hype that he had before he went to City?
I think he's, because he plays at Bayern and because he's at Bundesliga, he's become kind of an afterthought, but I've watched a couple games.
Great.
He's incredible, and I think he's above the competition in Bundesliga.
Somebody with a large parrot head, no shirt, and wings like wrestlers have, and just a speedo who just rollerbladed down the part of the bridge you're not allowed on.
Wow.
Sorry. New York City, once again, completely distracted me. I hope this is for a TikTok video and not just parrot guy now is now walking the streets or rollerblading the streets of New York City.
Omar Ramirez says La Liga is becoming Bundesliga with two teams only competing. Kind of. I mean, I would argue, obviously, who is it? What were the third and fourth? Real Sociedad, who was in first for a lot of the season or last season?
Atletico Madrid is also,
There's a little, I mean, I wouldn't say it's just a two-team race, but look, Atletico had a terrible year as far as like from, when they won La Liga last season they just look like a completely different team.
Yeah. Think the fact that Bayern wins 10 years in a row, do you think that hurts the prospect of Bundesliga getting more international fans?
Probably, I don't know. I mean, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, look, if you don't have the drama,
If it was a bit more exciting,
it's less attractive.
Why don't you watch Bundesliga?
The emotional investment is probably why I don't watch as much as I should. But there's a lot of competition for my attention, right? I say this all the time. I watch MLS, I watch NWSL, and Premier League, and then anything else after that. Obviously international matches. But then anything else after that, you got to fight for my attention. So right. I watch Der Klassiker. I'll watch El Clásico. Here and there if I happen to stumble upon it. But I'm not actively looking for it because I'm not as emotionally invested.
The language also is a bit of a barrier. And it's not just the way the games are announced, because you could watch them in SAP. You could watch them in English.
Yeah.
You can watch them in Spanish. But it's also like, it's hard to be like, oh, my favorite player? Yeah, it's sure Klagenplugen. You know what I mean? It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Sure.
You know?
Look, it's a little bit more challenging, but it's also, I think, a big part of it. And I've been watching... I've been watching more of the Bundesliga clubs when they're in the international competition. So in Europa, when Eintracht, obviously they won Europa League. But I forgot who's the Colombian on the team. I forgot his name. But because he's Colombian, I'm like, oh, this is great.
I'm going to
watch this a little bit more, see how he does and get to know more about him and stuff like that. So I think everybody finds their like one little just reason to like connect with any particular club or league or whatever. That's what it sometimes is for me. Everybody has their own thing, but they got to do whatever that look. If it's maybe signing more international players, they had James at Bayern for a bit. They signed Coutinho. I remember when we were in Germany, they were like, Coutinho was one of the best, almost like business decisions we ever made because
he had more followers than the club.
He had more followers than the club and got all this interest from Brazilian fans. So if that's what it takes, if from a business side, that's what, you know, you want to do. You want to succeed, but you also need to make money. I mean, so that's...
But should they Americanize it up a little bit more?
I mean, bro, it's the 50 plus one. That ain't happening.
Bro.
Not in Germany.
Look, Der Klassiker might be a difficult... It's not that difficult, but it might be a little bit of a barrier when somebody sees it spelled out. I got an idea. How about the Coca-Cola Der Klassiker?
There we go. Huh?
The Kraft Singles American Cheese Der Klassiker.
Bowl. You
know? Oh, now I'm in, you know? Put it on during Thanksgiving.
This is, look, man, it's challenging, you know, it's challenging figuring out the cultural exchange of, you know, like Premier League fans always say this about like why they get like kind of frustrated with American fans is because they feel like they're not respecting the culture of the sport and the league.
Ew.
But the sad reality is to you Premier League fans and fans of your Premier League clubs, you need us,
bruh,
to succeed. You don't have the players you have. You don't have the wages. You don't have the wage bills you have without the American fan base. This is why everybody is trying to get the American fans' attention. As much as you hate it and as much as you comment, I hate the Americans shouldn't talk about football.
Yeah.
You need us.
Bruh, without us... It's like, yeah, you hate your landlord, but without him, you living outside, bro.
I don't know what to tell you.
You know?
I hate being your overlord.
You hate your mom, but guess what? You ain't cooking. You ain't paying the bills.
So
you need your mom, bro.
Rather than complain all day.
Thank us.
Be like, or at least bring us in. Say like, you know what? That's not how we do things here. This is how we do things here.
Look, we all have friends. We have some friends.
Speak for yourself, sir.
Sorry.
Not now, not ever.
The rest of us have friends. Some of us, our friends aren't just circuit boards. But some of us have friends. And every once in a while, you get one of those friends that you really don't like. But the dude buys the bottles. You know what I'm talking about? So everybody puts up with them just a little bit.
Right,
because you're like, you know what? Without him, we'd be in BIP. Nobody wants to be there.
Not BIP.
Hell yeah.
I can't be caught in BIP.
Ew, dog. In fact, get that BIP off me, bro.
Delboy Zero said, the head of the Premier League said, the EPL has an advantage over the rest of the European leagues because the fans are more racially diverse, so people can connect more to English football. And that's I can see that as well.
Not in England, they ain't.
No, I would disagree.
Because you got a couple city pockets, cities, but...
A certain place. But I've always applauded Arsenal, especially for
wildly
this.
Diverse.
Well, incredibly diverse. And when we were in Baltimore, how many people from Nigeria did we see? How many people Absolutely. From Ghana did we see?
Well, I'm not like you. I don't count them. But yes, we saw.
Sure. Look, we all have our own hobbies.
He's like, oh, no, that's a Nigerian. Right there. No, 100%. It's you get such an international feel with a fan base like Arsenal. And that is in, you know, and I want to say also in England, that's one of the things that I really love about it. When you go to England, you're like, you're not just talking to like three or four English chaps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're talking to people that were born and raised in England, but their heritage comes from somewhere else, and it kind of reminds me of home. I love that. It reminds me of, like, you know, one of the reasons that I was happy about being an Arsenal fan was because the players on the field were all different nationalities, different races, all French, but all different nationalities and races, you know what I mean? And it was absolutely impressive to me to see that the fan base is the same. You know, we've traveled around England a little bit more, so we've gotten to see some other fan bases. I got a feeling you ain't got a big Nigerian contingent, Burnley, you know what I mean?
You need to work on
you know what I mean? Christian would not have a hard time counting how many West Africans there are in your fan base.
No, man, but it is a, you know, it is a reality. Of if the Premier League wouldn't be what it is today without an American audience. I mean, forget what, like, whatever the opinions of the fans or whatever, but you know, we've said this. We were talking to the guys from Toffee TV.
Is this the hottest hot take on this episode?
No. Well, we were talking to the guys from Toffee TV, where and telling them the same thing. Like it's very common. They were agreeing.
Sorry, we're screaming in their face. Thank us.
No, that American fans can be more knowledgeable about the game because we
almost have to be.
Yeah, we have to be, but we're also we get more access to the game than you do.
Do you see Parrothead?
Yes, I see.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't
just a fever
dream. I wasn't
going
crazy.
But we get more access to the game. We see more games than you do. You're not. You have all these rules and restrictions where you can't. The games can't be on TV. You don't get to watch the teams in other cities very regularly. So we. That's why we have Newcastle fans in Seattle and whatever. It's just we just have so much access to the game that we have to kind of know what we're talking about, especially because we want to seem knowledgeable. Whenever we either go to England or meet or talking to
because
an English person.
Because every time we have a conversation with an English person, we say we're a football fan. We have to prove we actually like football, not just we learned about this team last week.
Right, right. So
you have a little bit less of that because you're an Everton fan. Everyone's like, why would an American pick Everton?
I'm sure they say that about West Ham, about Burnley, about whatever.
But when you're like a fan of the traditional top six or whatever, you have a little bit of a harder time proving. Like, as an Arsenal fan, I have to, like, be like, yes, I've heard of Patrick Vieira. you know what I mean? I remember him, you know, Patty Longlegs. You have to say those things. You have to, like, give them clues that you know what you're talking about. You didn't just become a fan last week.
Right, right.
And you're like, oh, I'm out here to see Arsenal. When does Aubameyang come out?
Alabama, who?
Roll Tide.
Michael Raymond said Christian is an anthropologist on the side.
And then Drew Tura put Christian anthropologist.
Let's go. Delboy said African fans means England gets the first choice of the best African players. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, maybe
not true. That was France's. The joke used to be France was the African all-star team. Remember
okay.
that?
Oh well, as far as the I mean, look. I would say they have first choice because they also can probably offer the most money. But I'm sure it must be nice for players that maybe grew up in London. I mean, like a Wobie's like an example of like mm-hmm. yeah,
Nigerian
heritage.
Grew up in London,
but like it feels like home when the fan base is like so proud and happy that a Nigerian is on Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I also want to give Arsenal credit because they also nod to their diverse fan base. I remember the video, the commercial they did where it was like all North London accents. They were like in the barbershop and everything. Like that is a like to me the cue that every club should be following, and even clubs that we support out here, like NYCFC, I think has taken its time a little bit to really, really connect to like the core of the New York, you know, sort of. I don't want to say fan base, but like
the
New
vibe,
York,
just the vibe,
the New York vibe. It took a minute, right? And now that they've done a really great job of it in the last few years, but it took a minute where you see like Arsenal, a huge club, they're even doing. Everyone is trying to get a little bit more closer to the core of what it means to be from that city or that section of that city. And I love something like that. I love seeing that. You know,
Delboy just clarified African-born players, which I think is kind of my statement still kind of stands with like I think the Premier League just has more money to offer, so they probably still have that's probably the biggest reason, not necessarily the fan base, but I'm sure it's a factor. Michael Raymond said it's kind of exhausting that we have to be that way towards English fans. I like Liverpool, but I don't know all of the history. I just like how they play. Yeah, that's right. And that's my point, is that I think English fans should be more accepting of that, of just being like, oh, you're a fan of, you're not from my city, but you're a fan of my club. I will welcome you with open arms.
If I was in the middle of Austria and someone was like, oh, you're from New York? Yo, I'm a big Knicks fan. I wouldn't be like, how many three-pointers did John Stark shoot?
You all know shit, bro.
You ain't felt that pain, bro.
Just talking a bunch of trash on TikTok to him. Like, it would be absurd.
You don't know shit about Game 7. I wouldn't be none of that. I don't understand the gatekeeping that comes with the English fans. I think it's a fear that, like, oh, great, the Americans are going to take something else. You know?
But
they've already made our language better, our food better.
For the most part, the gatekeeping happens online. I mean, in person, people are usually pretty chill. But online, it's...
Most of the time. Every once in a while, in the stands, I get the, oh, you're from New York?
Oh, yeah.
Or you're from the States?
Yeah, bro, that's an Arsenal fan. Hey, me. Our Everton fans, they give me a hug.
Yeah, thank you for buying this ticket.
They give me a hug, they kiss me on the neck. I'm like, thank you. I'm like, all right.
When can we get to the game, sir?
I'm a toffee, I swear. You don't need
to. You said this is every fan goes through this. Why are there cameras on the floor tiles?
Oh my God.
Do you work for Barcelona?
Sam Asfahani said, have I tuned in to an English fans hate session? No, this is an intervention. That's what it is. And Jamal said, Alexis, please check your DM.
I'm checking it right
What's happening here? What's happening here?
Oh, I got a lot going on here. There's a, I'm being linked to a tweet. To a tweet.
What? A twat?
I was gonna say a Twitter post. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this was the big dude is back at it.
I saw this.
Yeah, I
saw this on TikTok. I mean, I don't know why you need to bring it up. It's just a big dude.
Hilarious.
That is an absolute baller.
We should do a video where we pick the best ones of these nicknames.
Yeah, yeah. Well maybe
Cream Benzema.
I saw that one. We'll do it tomorrow because we're running out of time today. But Jamal, thank you.
You know what? We'll do it on Gully Squad.
Oh, okay, on Patreon? All right, yeah.
In the Blatreon.
There
bro.
We go. Yeah, Jamal curating our content.
Jamal said all 10 of them kissing Christian. Yo, Jamal loves to give us shit, and he loves to give Everton fans shit, so you get it twice.
Let's go. No, man, this is how we show love. Thank you, Jamal. Yeah. All right. I think we should wrap up. Anything else before we go?
I wanted to read the we don't know if this is real. Can you put this up, actually, so wow. People can see it?
Send me a...
I did. It's in the Slack.
Okay.
So, obviously, we talked about, transfers. One of the big transfers, which we actually even really talked about, was Darwin Nunez,
right.
Who English people stop saying Nunez.
That's another
There's
one.
There's a tilde on top of the second N.
No, it's not. A tilde is the...
Is it the enye?
The enye. I forgot what it's called, but it's not. Tilde is...
The dash.
The line.
Okay, whatever. There's a squiggly line on top of the N. Have some respect. So this was via at Pedro M. Sepulveda. I don't know if this is...
I don't know. We don't know if this is real. It's all alleged, but it is pretty hilarious, even if it's fake.
I do want to give the English credit because this was a screen cap of a tweet or something, an article.
Yeah.
But it was tweeted out by at United MOH, and he just put Liverpool mudded. You guys do that better than anyone else.
Mm.
You guys can get one word that really explains just how difficult the situation is that's happening. So it says, Benfica president Rui Costa on Darwin Nunez transfer. This is a quote. We don't know if this is real. We haven't been able to confirm this anywhere else, but it's hilarious. I don't want to read it. So this is a quote from Benfica president Rui Costa. When we heard Liverpool were interested, we were hoping to get 40 to 45 million as Darwin had a good season. 2 days later, we received an official faxed bid of 80 million euros with add-ons from Liverpool. The room erupted into laughter. I told my assistant, which is wild disrespectful, he said the assistant to do it, to fax back asking for 100 million pounds with add-ons. Next morning, a new bid worth 100 million in total arrived. The world has gone crazy. We had better strikers in our youth team. I ordered my assistant to open a bottle of champagne. It felt like we had won the lottery.
Okay, so this is pretty wild. I'll say that it doesn't feel real.
Because
it doesn't feel real.
But if you did find out it was real, you wouldn't be shocked.
I would not be shocked because right. I imagine this is how...
This is how business works.
This is how business is done. Yeah. Where there has to be moments where you're negotiating or you don't know what exact value of a player you may have. I'm sure people make bids that are under what you expect, and obviously there's going to be bids that are over what you expect.
Right.
But for it to be double what you expect seems pretty wild. And then to add the statement of we have better strikers on our youth team, mm-hmm. then that's the sentence that is like the most either is kind of rude and kind of disrespectful, but also seems like that's why it might feel fake.
Right. But I will say, good lesson here. If you're selling anything, you don't set. If someone's trying to buy something is a better way. If you're out here trying to sell, it is what it is. But if someone's trying to buy something from you, you never set the price. Always sit back and wait to hear what it is. If it's lower than what you want, then you could say, no, I expect blank. But if you come in, if you want to sell something for 45 and someone comes in, I'll give you 80. You're like,
hey,
that's the first offer.
Jeez, whoa, you read my mind.
Wow. I'm actually a little bit higher than what you're saying.
But well, I need,
don't mind the confetti being burst in the background.
What's this, a kazoo? I don't know how it got in my hand.
I am so sorry. erection? Well, I can explain that. It's whenever I hear a number that's a little too low. So you may want to go back and reset that.
No, man. It sounds pretty. It sounds pretty wild.
I mean, just Paolo Nelson, who just re-upped as our member. Four months.
Thank you so much, Paolo.
How true is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Because I want this to be true.
What?
The statement.
Oh, the statement. How true is it? I thought you were about to say something else. No. I don't know. It feels like this is, 40% true.
Right?
It's like I could see this being
40 to 45% true.
But there has to be, look, when it comes to any kind of negotiation or business or in really any industry in the world, you have moments like this, right?
Right.
To me, it's always been difficult. How do you really determine a transfer fee? Like, it's a lot of it is guessing, right? I mean, you gotta.
Well, you have to say what you think the value is to your club that you can afford,
right?
And here's where I'm gonna give Liverpool credit. Let's just say this is 100% true. I'm gonna give Liverpool credit. They're not the only team that thinks this guy's worth 100 million.
Right.
So if you come in and say 40, 45, they're going to be like, oh, okay, that's exactly what we expected. Maybe they try to negotiate a little bit harder. You get to 40, you get to 55, 60, right? And then Manchester United, as an example, comes in and says, we'll give you 80. You now lost this player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to some degree, you paid what you were willing to pay. So for you, that's not a bad deal.
Because if they offer 40, somebody else comes in and it's like, all right, we'll give them 60.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So... it's
so you had to give him a rate. Like, yeah, I mean, what sucks is you were the only ones going for him that we know of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. So they offered that because you offer 100 just to be like, you know what?
Take it off the table.
That's it. The negotiation ends here. We'll give him 100. If you don't want it, then we're done.
The bad part is that you should have gotten him for 80.
Right. Yeah.
If you're willing to pay that, the fact that you came back.
Yeah. And so I think as fans, we sort of feel like the difference between 80 and 100 is not a lot because it just feels like too. I mean, but it is a lot.
You know who thinks it's a lot? De Jong, because he's owed 17.
It's like, quite a bit of money, and I'm sure they would have won it.
$20 million, if you had that right now, you'd have one of the most luxurious condos in New York City.
One of the most. Yeah, that's how
definitely
bad it
not
is.
The most.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the most.
It just shows the state of real estate right now.
Yeah, especially in New York City.
Okay.
You'd have like the dopest studio apartment in New York.
You might have like 300 to 400 square feet. That'd be really nice.
And backyard, which is just turf on the fire escape. but your dog could go pee-pee and poo-poo there, so it's all good.
Shouts to everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Once again, thank you to Gully Squad. Check out, if you are in Gully Squad, you have access to No Cap Recap, where we tell you all the real. You know what I mean? That's happening, especially when we're on road trips. So check that out.
That's right. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. Shout out to everybody on the Levitard and Friends network, the fan base, the audience. A lot of new people have been tuning in. Where you can some people have asked about how things are going to work going forward. The Cooligans podcast, as far as the audio feed, will still continue happening on our feed, but it will also be on the Levitard and Friends feed as well. So there's also a bunch of other great shows on that feed if you want to check that out. But yeah, again, thank you to everybody.
Stay tuned for how this all works because it may change.
Yeah, there'll be some changes coming soon, but you guys will all be privy to it, especially the people on Patreon. All right, as always, make sure you hit the like button here on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast, whether it's our feed or the Levitard and Friends feed, and join Gully Squad.
Yeah.
That's it, everybody. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with a new Shouts to US. A lot happened in Major League Soccer and NWSL that we have to cover. New York seems to be a little bluer than usual.
Ooh, can't wait for tomorrow. We were there.
All right, so we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.